and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Notice with me, if you would, something that I feel is very important for the saved person. It's very important that we study the Scriptures. When we study, it not only gives us as saved people encouragement, it also gives us the courage to live each day, moment by moment, knowing that we are not enjoying the best God has for us, because the best is yet to come when we are in glory with our Savior and Heavenly Father. Studying the Scriptures also gives us courage to be witnesses for our Lord. I often hear someone say, "I wish I had the courage to be a witness for the Lord, and to be able to lead souls to Christ as others do." Well, my advice to those who need encouragement and courage to serve the Lord is to get into the Scriptures daily. We have many passages of the Bible that witness to the importance of studying God's Word. John chapter 5 and verse 39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Well, when we get to feeling down and we think no one loves us in this world, we can have the knowledge of knowing that Jesus still loves us, that we have eternal life. And each time we read the Scriptures, it gives us the courage to keep on going on, to keep on keeping on. It lets us know that we do have eternal life. And that just puts a spark in us when we get into the Word and we understand what Jesus Christ has really done for us and what we have to look forward to. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so." This is the reason it's so important, I believe, what the Bible's saying here. Well, it's saying many things in this verse, Acts 17, 11. But one of the things I'd like to point out is this, that it's very important for those of us who sit under a pastor, under a preacher, listening to the Word of God. It's necessary for us to open the Bible and search and make sure that individual who is giving out the Word of God, make sure it is the Word of God that we're hearing, that we're receiving. Now, I want to read that verse again, Acts 17, 11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily." Notice this, whether those things were so. Now, that's not wrong for us to open the Bible when we're in church and we hear a man of God get up and preach the Word of God. It's important for us to know that he is a man of God, that he is sticking with the Scriptures. We need to search the Scriptures, have the Bible open as we're sitting there and listening and making sure that that person is representing our Heavenly Father, representing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another verse is Acts chapter 18, verse 28. It says, "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." Now, you can testify of your own conversion all you want, and it's a good thing to let people know that Jesus saved you and that how you got saved. But at the same time, knowing the Scriptures makes a big difference. It's the Word of God that does the job. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes we don't have the Bible with us when we're out in the public. Sometimes we have to depend upon something else, and that something else is, once again, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, He wants us to be in the Scriptures. so that he can recall to our memory the things that we've studied in the Scriptures. Notice in Acts 18, verse 28, it says, "And that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." That's how a person gets saved, is by reading and hearing the Scriptures. And we need to be prepared, whether we have a Bible with us or not, to be able to tell someone from the Word of God, "Thus saith the Lord." Let that person know how they too can go to heaven. It's good to have a testimony, but frankly, your testimony is not going to save anyone. It's the Word of God that does the job. We need to be ready to help individuals know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Wherever we're at, be ready to give a reason for the hope. That is, knowing that you are saved, give a reason for the hope that lies within you of why you're on your way to heaven, and then let them know how they too can receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by quoting the Scriptures to them. Learn. Get involved in the Scripture. And as I teach, I encourage every person to have their Bible open and to study along to make sure that I am speaking as "Thus saith the Lord," because I use the Word of God. Well, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9. We're just about finished with that verse. And notice what it says, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them." That's talking about the people who are in charge of someone. They need to understand something, these people, these masters or the bosses. "Do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven." Don't do something as someone who's in charge of another individual. Maybe you're the boss of someone. Maybe you're the servant of someone. In other words, you work for someone. You're both the same. And the boss is instructed, forbearing, threatening. In other words, that boss should never have to threaten someone to work. That doesn't mean that that boss does not take charge and expect the person who's working for them to do the job. There must be consequences, just as if, they are, once again, doing something against God himself. The Bible says that we're to work, that we are to show ourselves approved, not only as a workman rightly dividing the Word of God, but also a workman that needeth not to be ashamed of serving God in our job, in the workplace where we're at. And once again, the boss is not to do something to threaten the individual. He should not have to do that. Because if the person is doing what they're supposed to be doing, then the boss shouldn't have to threaten anything. But he should never threaten someone to get them to work or to serve, to do what is necessary for a job. The Bible says, "Neither is there respect of persons with him." That's with Jesus Christ. That's with God. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11 says, this also, speaking of this, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Makes no difference if you're the boss or if you're the worker. You're the same in the Lord Jesus Christ. And frankly, you're the same in this world, whether you know Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. You are a human being. You have as much right to do what needs to be done as the boss or as the servant or as the worker. You have as much right to do what the next person does, because you were born into this world and you have a master in heaven, whether you realize it or not. Doesn't mean you're saved on your way to heaven. The only way you get saved is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It simply means that God is in control. He is to be in control of your life, and he is in control, watching over each person, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're all the same, and we need to do what God wants us to do. Well, I believe the meaning to be this, that God will not be influenced when it comes to giving out of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved. Neither will he withhold the punishment due to those who are at the white throne judgment who are not saved. God does not regard the rank or position of any individual when it comes to salvation. All who will may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These are some of the verses now that you should be memorizing as a safe person to be able to give to an individual when you come into contact with someone who needs salvation. And I've read these before. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And many people who are not even saved, they know this next verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's no charge. A person has to do nothing in order to be saved except say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. I've changed my mind on how to get to heaven. I can't get myself there. You're going to have to do it, Lord. And I'm trusting you to do that. I'm turning everything over to you, and I trust you as to be my Savior. Please come into my heart and save me so I'll see you one day. You see, God does not regard, once again, the rank or position of any individual when it comes to judgment. And notice the word whosoever in the following verses. Remember, God looks at each one of us as human beings, as people whom Christ came to die for. Ezekiel 33 and verse 4 says, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. That means when you die without Jesus Christ and you go to hell, later on to go to the lake of fire, if that happens to you, you have no one to blame but yourself. And Christian, you are to be telling people this. You're to be helping individuals to know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell and a lake of fire to shun. God shows no favor to anyone because of rank or position. God is faithful and just. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 21, it says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient times? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Well, the person who's unsaved needs to come to Jesus Christ as Savior. The saved person who does sin, who knows their sin there in their life, they need to do this. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is a just God. Matthew 5:45 says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. There's no difference, see? We're all the same. We're here on this earth, saved or unsaved. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He is no respecter of persons. The answer as to how God is just, how God allows a person into heaven, and how God allows someone to go to hell is this: for there is no respect of persons with God, Romans 2:11. Neither is there respect of persons with him, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9. We're all the same. We need Jesus Christ. We're all the same. God wants to save us so that we can all go to heaven to be with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you trust him today? Ask him to come into your heart. Trust him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Admit you're a sinner. Admit you can't save yourself. You can't go your way, and you know that, so therefore, you want to go God's way, and that is through Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.